I'm now joined with Bernard Mulvaney, People Before Profit spokesperson for Dublin Bay North, to speak about the campaign to save Tolka Park from being sold off by Dublin City Council to private developers. Good morning, Bernard. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Johnny. Thanks very much for having me on.
You're welcome. First of all, Bernard, Tolka Park has been one of Ireland's most significant sites of culture and history. Just tell us briefly a bit about the history attached to it and its importance to the local community.
Yeah, Tolka Park has been around since 1924, and it's a huge cultural and sporting tradition within Dublin City, particularly on the north side. And it's a fierce, proud legacy of hosting the floodlit football match. It was the first one actually in the Republic of Ireland in 1953. It's a great claim to fame, you know. Also, they were the first venue that televised the League of Ireland game in 1997. So massive history connected to the park and Irish football. It's always been a huge sort of an asset to Irish football, and particularly to the local community in around Drumcondra. You know, you have a connection with Home Farm and Shamrock Rovers, and then in 1989 Shelburne took up residency as the club in situ, you know. And I mean, it's an amazing stadium. They both have men and women's football, from entry up to local and European and junior football, and you know, across the whole spectrum of soccer or football in this country. Tolka Park has been intrinsically linked to most of that growth, and people can always associate Tolka Park with football. It's sort of an iconic sort of a piece of infrastructure. It's an iconic stadium. It's very much in people's consciousness, you know what I mean? When you refer to Tolka Park, people all know Tolka Park.
So Dublin City Council, they took control in 2016, and in April of this year, they were given the green light by the Department of Sport to progress plans to redevelop Dalymount Park. But the project is regarded as being dependent on funding for rezoning and selling off Tolka Park to private developers. Tell us more about this.
This is where things start to get complicated. So there was this proposal put forward to develop the stadium up in Phibsborough, but it was on the condition that, like you said there, that they would offload Tolka Park. So they would sell that off, and there was figures talked about of needing around 15 million to be able to develop Phibsborough. But there's such a legacy and history with Tolka Park that there's grown from that now. There's a sort of a movement within the community that's not really what we want. You know, that we'd like to see, as much as absolutely we'd like to see Phibsborough developed, we want to know why can't Tolka Park be developed? Why not have two great stadiums in our city for football, for the community, for fans, for people to be able to enjoy and love the sport that they love? I mean, there's such a passion around Tolka Park, and the people I've come in contact with and that I've gotten to know through this campaign. It's like, and it's a word I don't really like using too often because people sometimes bandy it about, but it is inspiring to see the level of love and commitment from people for the club. Again, as I said, it's a bit of a strange one that Dublin City Council would sort of divide the community on this issue and put forward a proposal to develop one stadium at the cost of another. If I'm honest, to me, that makes no sense at all when we're now living in an era where the narrative is constantly around outdoors, being outdoors, and developing our sport, recreation, and everything else that goes with developing an outdoor lifestyle. Why would we want to sell off an amazing piece of infrastructure like that to fund another amazing piece of infrastructure that should be developed? Absolutely. Possibly not at the cost of another stadium within our city, within sort of the culture of sport. Why would you do that? I don't know, for anyone who's into sports, that surely makes no sense.
So where do the club intend to play indefinitely if this was to happen?
Indefinitely, there's talk about a merger so that they would move up to Phibsborough. But again, there's a few issues around that. Most notably, the biggest issue and the biggest elephant in the room is women's football. So the two top tier men's teams playing out of the one facility. And between everything that goes on at that level of sport, between training and camps, the likes of it, we can't seem to find the room to develop the women's game. So effectively what we're saying is that the men's game is more important. That's the one we want to invest in. And the women's clubs, well, look, you know, there's a few pitches around the area. Maybe you could develop that. And that in itself is completely unacceptable. Because if I'm honest with you, the level of commitment from the women's game and from the people involved in the women's game is possibly more than is there for the men. And as we've seen with the great victory that the girls had most recently in Tolka Park, the level of support from the community for the women's game is more, I feel personally, at this moment in time, than possibly the men's, because there's that strong connection that and the commitment from, like, I mean, it should be on par. There's no two ways about it. And both teams, male and female, should be respected equally. So if Tolka Park is taken away, I mean, again, that's another avenue, another route for the female development of the female sports, soccer in this country. We're shutting that down, and we're effectively saying to the women, you know, you're important, but you're not that important. The level of just the atmosphere afterwards when the team had won, and we were on the pitch and we had banners and the cup was there, and just the euphoria was just amazing. And for any young family, you know, and particularly have their families there with their daughters, to be able to say, you know, this is what we aspire to. This is, you know, it was brilliant. Now, it really was. It was something I hadn't experienced in an awful long time. I mean, we've gone through a serious crisis with COVID and everything, but it was just for one night. It was just the euphoria and that coming together that sport brings. And it was in Tolka Park on the pitch. I mean, if you could bottle that in itself, there's no way any right-minded person would say, you know, we need to get rid of this stadium. We need to offload this. We should be talking about developing both. You know, we should be saying we need to build on this beautiful, iconic, historical ground. We should be developing it and making it available for future generations of sports lovers and definitely in the wider community. I mean, just take Marino alone. They're playing on the top green on a Sunday morning. My son, he's 10, plays. And like, so we're playing what really is effectively, it's like a field, you know. And just down the road then, we have this amazing piece of infrastructure, this wonderful, as I said, iconic stadium that they're talking about selling off to fund another development. It jars with me, and it doesn't marry with the sort of logic behind developing sport for future generations. It makes no sense at all.
So Bernard, tell us about the Save Tolka Park campaign, which is opposed to the sale of the stadium. And also, they have devised an alternative proposal to develop Tolka Park with community facilities like a gym, creche, enterprise centre, cafe and so on. Tell us all about this.
Well, in 2019, I was approached by an individual who got in contact with me. It's through sort of the activism I do for disability inclusion and stuff. And I met with Lee, and back in 2019, before COVID ever hit, and we chatted and talked about, you know, Tolka Park and how he envisions this campaign. There's a policy there that to sell one stadium off to pay for another, and as a sports fan, he didn't want to see that. So he said, you know, I wonder, could we come together, meeting of minds, let's form a group and see if we could possibly get a movement going that we could save Tolka Park and see a reinvigorated stadium brought back for the wider community to use. So at the time, there was a lot going on, and we met and we discussed it and we talked about it, and it went through the motions, and then all of a sudden more people started getting on board.
So Bernard, does the proposal include keeping the soccer pitch for Shelburne as their home ground?
Yeah, the proposal is that we would develop the stadium, and that we would retain the football ground in full. Now, again, the politics behind where teams would be based is ongoing. You know, there's a sort of a narrative at play that they would have to relocate up to Drumcondra. But, you know, and then we say if that's going to be the case, then that the, you know, they need to develop the football ground for the women's football. But, I mean, if we're honest, we'd prefer to see the team stay in situ, and that they would stay in their respective stadium.
Okay, and is such a proposal financially viable? I reckon it is, because money will be earned from using the gym and all the other facilities once it's completed.
Absolutely. But Johnny, you know, we've looked at that, and that's something that sometimes people say to us. But I mean, we're talking about a post-COVID world, and there's funding been found for everything left, right and centre, except for what's really, really important. I mean, I'm not saying hand sanitizer isn't important, but I mean, there was a report here the other day that 54 million was spent on hand sanitizer for schools. And, you know, I mean, there's 24 million for outdoor dining and, you know, all these other little, not little, but these other initiatives that are there. Whereas we've it costed there now. And I mean, for a fraction of that kind of a figure, we can have a state-of-the-art, community-based, fantastic stadium and facilities, amenities for local community to come together to be able to build on community. Again, I go back to it. Actually, it was something Tommy Martin said that really resonated with us. We felt, you know, if I used to stand in the top green of Merino and throw a stone, I'd hit a GAA clubhouse and a team. I hit numerous in the area, okay? And nobody ever bats an eyelid. And we all come together and the GAA does fantastic work and it's very important. Here we have two clubs, a kilometre and a half away from each other, two stadium, and yet we're on about getting rid of one to finance the other. Yeah. It just makes no sense at all. And it's sort of, there's a little level of classism maybe about it, I don't know. I mean, there's no way if we went to St. Vincent's GAA, that we're members of Vincent's GAA, great club, amazing club. But imagine if we went there and say, you have to shut down because the Whitehall GAA, they're just a kilometre and a half away and in fairness, it's not viable. The community wouldn't tolerate it. They wouldn't have it. And they'd be right too. They'd be 100% correct in saying, no, that's our club. We love our club. We're invested in our club. And Talca Park, I really won't lie to you now, Johnny. I've seen the passion that the fans, that those involved in the park have for the game, for the park, for developing the community. And you know something? I don't think anyone could match it. It's amazing. And to see the work that these people have put in to saving their club, it's on a different level. And someone who's involved in politics and likes to build movements from the ground up and who's very much disability rights and like our Access for All campaign has been a huge success. But this inspires me when I see the level of commitment and work that these guys put in and girls that put in to saving a most important community asset. I'm telling you, and you know, it was said and it was said to us straight and they were right. They said, once it's gone, it's gone. So if it's taken away, it'll never be back. And, you know, let's be honest, when they talk about it gets thrown at us, the housing crisis and everything else that goes with it. And yes, it's a serious crisis, but we need more than just houses to build communities. We need clubs. We need social outlets for people to come together. If this is ripped out of the heart of our community, it'll never be put back in. And it'll only be the community that loses out. That's who will lose out eventually. It'll be the community. And let's be honest, whatever you would build on that site is not going to dent the crisis that is there in housing at the moment. It just, you know, it really won't make any sort of significant impact on it. So I think, you know, a rational individual would say to themselves, yes, we need homes, absolutely, and we need lots of them. But we also need places for people to come together and to build those communities in those homes that we need built. So, I mean, that for me is probably the strongest argument of why we just can't. We can't see Talca Park bulldozed. We can't see it taken away because once it's gone, it'll never be back.
By the way, what's the connection between People Before Profit Party and this campaign?
The main connection is with myself and Conor Reddy, who's in the Ballymun Finglas area. He's a representative there. And Conor and I were both approached by some of the steering committee. It's really in reflection of the activism that we do, particularly just the fact that the Access for All campaign has been such a strong campaign. You've had us on a few times, Johnny, giving us a great platform for disability inclusion, disability rights. And, you know, like with everything, I never ran a campaign before, but I've learned an awful lot very quickly. And that's true People Before Profit. And we're also very lucky that our TDs are very involved and are very supportive of this campaign. And they've used their platform in the Dáil to ask all the right questions and to sort of create the conversation that, you know, we can't be getting rid of these vital public amenities. We can't talk about outdoor living. We can't talk about post-COVID world if we're going to bulldoze our infrastructure that builds communities, that communities can come together. And that's what People Before Profit is all about. We're all about building communities, building movements from the ground up. It's about empowering people to take control of their environments, their communities, and for their voices to be heard. And so that would be our strongest role within the group, is that we can, with our TDs and our elected representatives and our public reps, that we can give a voice to this particular movement. And, you know, it's working very well, and we're very fortunate. Richard's been very vocal, as Paul Murphy has been in the Dáil, and highlighting that, you know, they've pointed out the faults in the arguments of bulldozing it at every turn, and nobody can come back to them because it's just sense they're talking. And I think in North Dublin, I think you ask the majority of football fans, would they like to see Tálchan Park retained and developed and made into a community facility? And they'd all say, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
So what's the next step, Bernard, in all of this?
Well, the next step is, again, we have to keep up the pressure. We need a commitment, a firm commitment from Dublin City Council that Tálchan Park will be redeveloped, that it will be invigorated for the community. And, you know, as we've seen with the Oscar Traynor site in particular, they had voted against that, and then it came back a year later and then they voted for it. You know, we have to get a solid, firm commitment that Tálchan Park will be retained in full from Dublin City Council. The investment will be put into it, and that we'll have a stadium and a club that the community can engage and enjoy for generations to come. And, you know, that is the next step, is that we can get that solid, firm commitment that Tálchan Park will be reinvigorated, reinvested in, and it'll become, you know, the kind of club that it once was and that can become. And there's no need to bulldoze this iconic stadium, other than, as I said, Una Manali, she said it in a great, it would be cultural vandalism. And I think that is in itself the truth. I think our community would benefit from a new reinvigorated Tálchan Park with all the amenities that we've proposed and put forward. The community can only benefit.
Right, so we leave it there for today. Bernard, thanks again for joining us. Great talking with you. All the very best, and do take care.
Thanks very much, Johnny. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. Now, that was Bernard Mulvaney, People Before Profit spokesperson for Dublin Bay North, talking about the campaign to save Tálchan Park from being sold off by the council to private developers.